the Sound of Economics. I'm Bryn Watkins. I'm pleased to bring you this podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank specialised in economics and economic policy. In this episode, we'll be talking about trade. Specifically, we'll be looking at the EU's place in the global trade system, which is framed by a complex web of bilateral and multilateral agreements. Trade is a key driver of prosperity in Europe and around the world. But recently, there has been growing awareness that free trade can create losers as well as winners. This has led to what some are calling a backlash against trade, with growing criticism in both Europe and the USA, fears about the rise of new trading powers like China, and the risk of a swing towards protectionism across the world. We'll be asking whether these worries are valid and exploring possible policy responses. But before we dive into that, let's start with some fundamentals. What is the economic value of trade? Why is it better for countries to produce and exchange goods and services rather than just consuming domestic products? I asked André Sapir, a senior scholar here at Bruegel, to sum up the advantages.
You know, the world is composed of countries that are very different from one another. Europe is different from China, Europe is different from the United States, and that's the beauty of trade, that one does trade with countries that are different and that each of them can specialize according to their own comparative advantages. So trading with other countries brings us a lot of benefit and bring benefits to the rest of the world. But the multilateral system is what I think manages to organize production in the most efficient manner.
Arantxa Gonzalez, executive director of the International Trade Center, agrees that clear rules on trade are vital for the efficient functioning of the global economy. And she emphasizes the advantages of a clear multilateral framework over bilateral agreements.
Trade is no longer about one country producing and exporting to another country, but trade is about fragmenting the production along value chains in different countries for exports and imports globally. This is what we have dubbed made in the world. In this context, the strongest regulator for international trade becomes the multilateral level.
Efficiency is not the only benefit of a multilateral approach to trade regulation. André believes that a multilateral setup is also fairer than a bilateral approach.
From a political manner, it takes away bilateral relations. And in trade, bilateral relations can be good, they can be, again, mutual advantages, but they can also be frictions between countries, and as one observes. And some countries are big, some countries are small. Big ones sometimes want to boss smaller ones. And that's why the multilateral trading system is particularly good from a political viewpoint for the small countries. It protects them against the rule of the jungle, where the big ones are bullying the small ones.
So trade can bring benefits for the economy, but the system also faces criticism. Petra Pinsler is a German journalist and author who has written extensively on trade policy. She reminds us that trade doesn't only create winners.
Within societies, there are losers and winners. You can very easily argue that a country is winning through trade because normally it increases the GDP. But if you look into the different parts of society within the countries, there are definitely losers and winners. And what I realize is that a lot of trade economists, they tended to overlook into the distribution issue. They didn't look into societies and they overlooked who was winning and who was losing. And definitely in societies, you have losers.
Those who lose out from trade usually feel the impact through job losses or reduced wages. In the global north, these workers have often been found in traditional and heavy industries, which can be outcompeted on price by workers in poorer countries. Understandably, this leads to discontentment and political protest. Here's Petra again.
As an economist, you would traditionally argue GDP is increasing, so what's the issue? And the issue of distribution is not an issue of trade, so what's the hell? But this is a shortcoming. And I think if you want to gain support for trade, you have to actually make sure that there are more winners and less losers, or that the losers will be compensated by the winners.
André agrees that societies need to find ways to compensate those who are negatively impacted by trade. In fact, he compares the effect of trade to the disruption that's brought by innovative technologies.
It's extremely similar to what happens with technological change. Some workers in certain sectors or in certain factories obsolete. And new firms, new sectors are gaining activity, creating new activities, and old ones are dying. And those who are dying, they don't find at all this new technology fun. They find it's costing their jobs, maybe their livelihood. And, you know, as a society, you'd say, great to have all of those innovations. Doesn't mean it's great to everybody. Well, trade is exactly the same thing. Trade is just like technological progress. It gives a lot of advantages, but not necessarily to everybody. Then it's a question of how societies deal with disruption. And that's where you see, in a sense, you can judge a society, whether it is a real society, that is, it has capability of dealing with those disruptions in a cohesive manner, or it's not able to do so. And I think those societies where there's less cohesion, then there's much more strife taking place on the occasion of this of those disruptions.
But what should this compensation look like? And how can we design a trade system which shares out the gains and helps those who do not directly benefit? Arantxa from the International Trade Center does not think that protectionism is a good answer.
Trade protectionism will not, does not protect the workers, does not and will not protect the individual. It's an illusion. It's not because you put up a wall on trade that you're going to help the middle classes that have been hollowed out in many parts of America, or the Europeans that are fearful of immigration. It's not trade protectionism that will solve their problems. It's the qualities of the policies that lie beyond trade. This message is important because in the trade backlash, we run the risk of weakening one of the very functioning institutions we have at the global level to ensure trade is fairer.
However, Petra warns that some trade deals are so far-reaching that they can actually limit the scope for domestic policies to correct distributional effects.
Trade in itself affects a country. And when you do trade agreements that bind countries to a certain extent, you create losers and winners, and you limit the ability of a national government to put, for example, borders into place. So you limit the ability of political space of governments. Because if you actually put trade over everything else, trade über alles, as we would say in German, you make it much more difficult for a country to regulate environment, to put into a place for environmental laws, to put in place social protection. So the trade in itself limits the ability of the national government to actually do national politics, which leads me to the consequence that in international trade agreements, in bilateral trade agreements, but even better in multilateral or even global trade agreements, we always have to think about those other issues as well, and not just as a barrier to trade, but as a precondition for good trade that actually really serves the people.
One way to protect societies from the adverse impacts of free trade is by opening up gradually. Petra gives Korea as an example of an economy which did this effectively.
I think what's quite important is when we look into history, is that we look into the sequencing of opening countries. If you look, for example, into South Korea, what they did much better than a couple of countries in Africa and Latin America is that they opened up one sector after the other. So the way you open up your country and your industries and your sectors for trade makes a difference.
So we've heard that trade can generate wealth, but also inequalities within societies. It can be organised through bilateral or multilateral frameworks, and there are currently tensions brewing, from the rise of new trade powers like China to the re-emergence of protectionist discourse in Europe and especially the USA. So how should the EU react? And what should be Europe's priorities? I spoke with Bruegel's director, Guntram Wolf, about his recent paper, Europe in a New World Order. What challenges is multilateralism facing, and how can Europe best respond?
Well, Europe is a pretty open economy. Among the large economies, it's certainly the most open one, and therefore has a genuine interest in having a good set of global rules by which trade is being run. Europe is really stuck in this very new world in which it has to find new allies. before the Trump administration, the attempt was to do this with the United States under the heading of TTIP. China, I think, will also move in that direction and increasingly captures larger shares of global trade, and therefore also has increasingly an interest in becoming not just a rule taker, but also a rule setter. And so the question, I think, for Europe is then, with whom can one shape rules? China is one possibility, but certainly other emerging market economies are also a possibility. But all of these partners are actually by themselves also difficult partners. So I think I would warn against naivete. I mean, we cannot just think China will replace the United States. This is not going to happen. They have a very different economic model, very different standards. And so we have to, you know, fight hard for our standards and certainly become more united and stronger actor ourselves. But I think the multilateral approach really is part of the solution, and it's not the problem. Why is it part of the solution? Well, it is part of the solution because multilateralism allows us to together jointly set the rules of trade. And we want to have in these multilateral rules high standards to protect consumers, high standards to protect the environment, high standards to protect the health of citizens. And all of these things need to be enshrined in rules somewhere.
And that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thanks for listening to The Sound of Economics. If you're interested in more Bruegel work on trade, there is a range of blogs and papers by Guntram, André and others available on our website at www.bruegel.org. I hope you'll join us again for The Sound of Economics. See you next time.